He is a God that we can bring anything to Him. Mm-mm-mm. And He never rejects us. Never rejects us. But He's always the God that has open arms, ready to help us. Ready to help us. Ready to help us. Oh, thank you, Lord. I have a prayer. I forgot about it. Lord, we lift up, Lord God, this prayer request up to you in Jesus' name. Caroline, Lord God, in Jesus' name, touch her body. Bring healing to her body in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, touch it, Lord God. By your stripes that she's healed, in your name we pray. Amen. But we do want to welcome everyone here this morning, especially fathers. We do want to wish everyone a happy Father's Day if you're a father and if you're a future father. I mean, you know. Amen. So we do want to wish everyone a happy Father's Day. I don't know where the gifts things are. Oh, did everybody get? What is that? Oh, yeah. That's a tire pressure gauge. Oh, see, you can check your gauge. You can check how much pressure you have in your tires, and see if you're deflating yourself or not. You know, if you start to deflate, you're not 35 whatever pounds, you need to start reading your Bible, start praying, start, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Get your eyes back on Him. Did all fathers or all men get, I just want to make sure. Okay. We certainly do appreciate you, fathers, and all that you have done and helped us with. Just a matter of note, the tithe and offerings to the church last Sunday was $1,480. So thank you for your faithfulness in giving and supporting the church. And we certainly do appreciate that. Always remember, you're always giving to Him. Always, I know you have to write it to the church and all, but it's always to Him. And Lord God, I pray your blessings upon your people like never before. Upon them. Also, a matter of note, next Sunday, Brian Domang will be speaking next Sunday here. So Cheryl told me that she told him exactly what to say. No, she didn't. No, she's like, what? No. No, she gave him instructions. So, I don't know what that is, but, you know, no, she didn't. No. But we certainly are excited. I have never heard him speak in a church service. I've never heard that. I know they've been affiliated in part of certain churches where he has spoken many, many times. He's spoken in prisons and different places. And so we are excited about that. So this week, pray for him that God would just give him exactly what we need, you know, for the church, and that the anointing and the presence of God would be upon him. And invite people to come and hear him speak, you know. So, and I know it is a little nerve, you get a little nervous, you know, because you're in front of people. But also the Spirit of the Lord helps. And you see, it's not, you know, that's where we have to rely on the Spirit. It's the Spirit's job to convict and touch the heart of a person. God just uses a oracle or a vessel of a mouth to bring forth the word. And so that's where we just trust Him, that He will touch and touch the lives of the people. So we do want to welcome all of you here, and also pray for Brian for next week. Amen. Anything else? Any other? No. Okay. Amen. Turn off. Three, four. All right, power's on. All right, that's good. That's good. You know, Father's Day, and you know, be preaching to fathers, but really it's to everyone. I mean, you know, you always, just like Mother's Day, you know. Mother's Day, I talked about how we needed praying mothers. Don't give up. Well, we're gonna talk about praying fathers. Don't give up. Never give up. God is never in the business of ever giving up, ever giving up. Let's take our Bibles and make our declaration before Him. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, Father's Day is a day that has been set aside by our country or our government to honor all fathers. And really, when we say fathers, we can say fathers or future fathers, men in general, honoring all men. That's what I try to do, honoring all men in what God has done in their hearts and in their lives. But, you know, Father's Day, for some people I know, is a very difficult time. And it could be, you know, difficult, especially if you've lost your father, you know. I mean, it's hard. You know I woke up this morning and I was thinking about my dad, you know, just kind of, you know, not here, just not here. Or, you know, or if things, or if there's not a good relationship sometimes with the child and the father, sometimes it can be a rift there. And sometimes that could be a hard time, you know. But I always know that even in the failures of our fathers, now not only failures but triumphs too, but also in the failures of our fathers, earthly fathers, our Heavenly Father always comes through. Always. Always. And what the world has tried to do, maybe, you know, even our country or the world, but what has happened was the degradation or the bringing down of fathers, trying to demean them in certain areas. But we have to all, and the reason they're doing that, they may not know the spiritual reason, but the earthly reason of bringing down an earthly father, it makes us as a church or as a whole, as a world, look at the Heavenly Father in the same light or same avenue. So the devil has used it however way to try to bring destruction to fatherhood. But also we can, you know, that's just like in everything, you can look at the negative, but also we need to look at the positive. There are many great fathers. You know, I'm looking here at fathers that just, they adore their wives. They love and adore their wives. They love and adore their children. Now, this one's going to get to you. They adore and love who? Their grandchildren. Their grandchildren. My God, above anything else. Today, oh, Miss Gail, I have some stuff for you. I'll put it right here. Okay. I'm sorry. Commercial break. This morning, Jess and them weren't here. They went to Baton Rouge to Father's Day. You know how that is. But this morning, she called and she said, oh, Dad, you know, or she wants to talk to Mom, Jelaine first. But then she talked to me and said, we want to come over. You know, they live far away, you know, across the driveway, you know. Okay, so all three of them are coming in, bringing in the gifts and all that stuff because they won't be here today. And so, you know, everybody comes, and so they give us the gifts, and the first present she gives me, I get a pair of slippers. If you'd see the slippers I have, they have blowouts on both of them. But that's okay. I'll wear it on Sundays. If you ever happen to stop by my house, I'm going to have my slippers on, you know, and even after work a lot of times. Just I put them on, I wear them in the house, I wear them outside. They've gotten wet, I've walked in the grass with them. It doesn't matter. You know, just whatever. But so I said, oh, good. And so the next present Jess gives, you know, she gives it to me. And I open it up. And they have a little baby outfit. And they have this card here. Now, do you know Jess is expecting again? So I'm going to be a grandfather again, or papa. And this is what it said, the card. It said, B is for bear, booties, and blocks, and baby boy. Congratulations, Papa and Grandma. So we were excited. We were excited that, you know, it's going to be a little boy. And so they just found out yesterday. They went. We didn't know they went. I mean, you know, We didn't know they would find out. So they have well, I call her Ella. Isabella, I call her Ella. And so a little girl and now a little boy. And so we are excited about what God is just doing and how He's working in our hearts and lives. But you know how God will bless the families. You know, fathers, you know, I want to thank you, fathers or men. Thank you for working hard. You know, sometimes, you know, we know, oh yeah, go to work and come in. But you know what? Thank you for working hard. Thank you. Thank you for getting out there and sweating. You know, whatever jobs, you know, sweating. Getting out there and putting up with people. You know. This is the one. Getting out there and putting up with the boss. Which sometimes you'd like to say a few words and even use a few little fingers just to kind of show him or her some things. But you know what? God, you know, you just let the Lord handle things. But thank you, fathers. Thank you, stepfathers, for taking in children that maybe are not even yours or not yours and raising them like your own and giving those children hope and help. Thank you, grandfathers. You know, years ago, you know, now grandmothers and grandfathers are just, but thank you, grandfathers, for raising your grandchildren. And I know that's heartbreaking, but also thank you that there is a place that these kids can go to. And they can reserve it as a place of security and help for them. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for giving that way. You know, we all have probably fond memories of our fathers. You know, we probably all have some little, oh Lord, memories, you know, kind of, oh Lord. But you know, until you become a father, you don't realize the decisions they've made, they had to make sometimes. You know, I don't even know if I told this last Father's Day, but my father and I, he passed away many years ago, what, 6, 7 years ago now? What? Eight? Oh, six. Andrew said six. Okay, 6 years ago. You know, for the most part, you know, my mother and father, they divorced. And so, you know, we moved from Lafayette to Kaplan. And the reason we came to Kaplan was because that's where my mother's family was from. That's where they live. I was 10 years old. You know, for 20 or so years, you know, 25, just not, you know, basically, you know, a relationship, but not much. You know, you'd see every once in a while. Sometimes I remember seeing my father once a year, you know, once a year. Now, you know, he had some problems. I say problems, just, you know, the way he grew up, you know. But what was the fondest memories for me was his last year alive. I didn't realize how good God is. That last year, God gave me the ability on Thursdays. There was something on the inside that said, I'll go see your father. And I know for at least a year, maybe even a little bit longer than that, every Thursday, I mean, I tried to make it. Now, you know, I say every Thursday, but every once in a while I couldn't make it. But, you know, just about every Thursday for a year or so would just go out there, go meet him, you know, talk a little bit. Sometimes I'd bring him, go get his money out of his checking account or, you know, get something to eat or just little stuff like that. But you don't know how I treasure that God allowed me to have that year or so where He restored that relationship. Now, let me tell you how He restored it. The restoration of winning His trust was when He said, Joe, I want you to be on my checking account over His money, over all His money. And I said, well, okay. I said, whatever you want to do, Dad, whatever. But you see, the time that was spent there, Now, I know you're probably saying, you know, I didn't have a lot of time with my father. I know that can be hurtful. But I know this, that God is a restorer of hearts. That God can restore men and women's hearts, boys and girls' hearts, back to Him. But you see, it had to come to a place where I had to forgive Him. I mean, and that's not easy sometimes. But I tell you what, on a scale of me forgiving and what Jesus did, doesn't, I can't even show my hand of me. It doesn't compare. It doesn't compare. But I know this, in forgiving, it released me to help Him and to love Him. To help Him and to love Him. You might say, well, there are things in my heart today, Pastor, with my father. And that's why it could be against your mother, whatever. But you say, Father, go, and maybe he's not around anymore. Maybe he passed away or whatever. Go to your father. Even if he's still alive, go to your heavenly father and say, Father, I forgive him. And look, you might not feel any difference on the outside because you see, we don't live by feelings. We live by faith in the Son of the living God. But as we put our faith in our Father, who is the Redeemer of our souls, who helps us through all things, that He will restore our hearts and heal those areas that need to be healed. See, how many wounded people are out there because of fathers? And yes, look, who's perfect? No one. You know, you hear everything's blamed on parents now for kids. Everything. You're going, oh my God. Cheryl, you know that, huh? Cheryl say, oh my God. But because she knows the Word of God and she knows God, she knows the difference. But you see, the world tries to blame everything. But you see, God set up the family, a mother and a father. Doesn't matter what society says. It doesn't matter what man thinks or what man says, laws are good or bad. What God put in order, that's the perfect way. And that's the only way to raise great children. But you see, there are things there. But you know, we need to be today just praying fathers. You might say, well, praying for your children. You might say, well, how much do I need? Pray every day for your children. You might say, what do I pray for? Pray that they would have a heart for God. Pray that God would protect them. Pray that God would move in their hearts and souls. Pray for your spouse, your wife, that the power of the living God would be poured out upon her. That God would protect her mind and her spirit. That the devil couldn't penetrate the evil. The things that he's trying to do on the inside of them, that God would protect them and be with them. In Daniel chapter 10, look at verse 12. Oh, no, let's start with verse 11. You may not have it, Andrew, but that's okay. Daniel chapter 10, praying fathers. Look at this. It says, and he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understanding the words that I speak unto you, and stand upright. For unto you am I now sent. And when he had spoken these words unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you did set your heart to understand and to chasten yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I am come for your words. Verse 13, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Here we see. You might say, well, what did praying fathers, be persistent with your prayers. Mothers, be persistent. We need to realize this, that once we pray, the enemy is trying to divert and destroy that prayer, that God can't answer it. Now, we know God is all-powerful, all-knowing, everything, everything. But when Daniel prayed, it says that when he first prayed, what? God heard, huh? Okay, that says something to me. When you pray, God hears. Huh? What the devil will try to tell you, when you pray, there's really not even a God. Oh, that struck a nerve. When you pray, well, God, I'm not good enough for God to answer my prayer. I'm not as good as the one down the road. No. God, just as Daniel, when Daniel prayed, it says that God heard. That God's ears were not deaf to Daniel. And when Daniel prayed, he was sending Gabriel, what, to bring the answer to that prayer and to show him what to do and to give him the vision. And you can read all the other stuff, bunch of stuff. But it says that from the first day he prayed, that it took, what, 1 and 21 days, that means, or 21 days, to get to him. And that Gabriel had to call for assistance from Michael to come and help him, the angels. What that tells me is this. We live in a place that has things from the evil world out there. But also we need to remember that our God has conquered it all. Huh? Yes. Hey, let's face it. Old Slewfoot, he is powerful. More powerful than me. More powerful than any human being upon this earth. He is. He is. And buddy, if you try to stand against him, you and I will be destroyed. But the difference is, when Jesus died on that cross and he said, "It is finished." Oh, I tell you, it's finished, all right. That means everything was conquered. Everything in the world was conquered. Everything in the world was conquered. That now, when I've accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and you have too, He lives in us. And because of the Jesus in us, and the Jesus that's around us, the Holy Spirit, we are more powerful because of not of who we are, but because of who He is. He makes us more powerful. He gives us the strength and the ability and the power. But we have to be persistent. We can't give up. You know, we were singing out that song, "Waiting on the Lord." Well, nobody wants to wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Now, 100 years ago, 80 years ago, or 50 years ago, these people would, in the church, they'd come and pray. And they would wait on the Lord. We don't know what it is to wait on the Lord, it seems like, no more. Waiting on God? Well, He waits on me. No. We're all backwards now. We have to, hey, don't you think God knew that when Daniel first prayed that it would take 21 days or so to get the answer and get what he needs? Don't you think when you go to God that God puts it in you to pray? Oh. And when you pray, God knows when the answer will get to you. And He's just saying, "Wait on me." While I'm waiting, what we do, we praise Him. While I'm waiting, Lord, we give You praise, Lord. While I'm waiting, Lord, I'm not looking at the storm. I'm not looking to the problem in back of me. I'm not looking to the events that are happening on the right side of me. But I'm looking to You, Lord. Being persistent. Being persistent. Being persistent. Being persistent. And we have to take the answer how He gives it. Fathers, be persistent. As you pray and seek God, as you're taking that time, saying, "Lord, I may not understand this, Because there's many things I don't understand about God. You might say, well, you're a pastor. That's right. But there's many things I don't understand. That's right. We learn as we grow, as we go. And we'll never understand it all. Our God is too vast. He's too big. And once we think we know it all, He throws a wrench and says, no, you don't. Our God has more wisdom, more power, more grace, more love than what we ever could imagine. But as men of God, to be persistent in never giving up on anything that God has put in your heart or in your life to do. Never giving up on the things that God has spoken to you about. That has to line up with the Word. I hear many things. But it has to line up with the Word of God. But the things that God has spoken to you about, that we can rest assured that the answer is coming. The answer is coming. Now you have to remember this spirit that was over Persia, which is a certain area, that's what the devil does. He puts up strongholds over certain cities. You know that? To hold them in bondage. I mean, he puts up strongholds in certain families. Why do you think the Kennedy family, why have so many of them been killed? Something's not right. Alcohol, there's just all, and I just named that as a, because we all know. But you can look at certain cities and the devil will commission evil spirits, demonic spirits to be over certain cities, certain towns, certain villages. And yes, but also we need to remember that our God has given us the Holy Spirit that is far greater and more powerful than any demon spirit over anything. And so what we do, we pray and we seek God. And you see, because look, it says in John 10:10, the devil comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. Comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he wants to do to you. That's what he wants to do to your children. I might say, my children. He wants to steal from them. He wants to kill them. And he wants to destroy them. That's why the devil will make us so busy trying to destroy any little inch of time that we have with God. Because he knows as we pray, it pushes back the powers of darkness. Listen to me. Listen to me. As we pray, it pushes back the darkness. When we don't see God and we're just not praying, or we just throw up, well, Lord, bless, 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 you know, whatever. When we don't pray, the darkness infiltrates the church, the body of believers, the children, the grandchildren, the spouses, and what? The fathers. My pastor, what are you saying? We need praying fathers to push back. To say no longer will I allow my spouse to be tormented by the enemy. No longer will I allow the enemy to steal my children and bring destruction upon their lives. Why do you think there's so many homosexualities in America today? Stealing children, making them believe that they are that way. That's a spirit. For the fathers to push back the evil spirits that are trying to destroy our children, to push back the evil spirits that are trying to destroy grandchildren and families galore. To push it back. To not give up. You might say, well, how much time should I pray? Whatever time the Holy Spirit says, pray. Pray. You might say, well, praying in tongues, praying in English, praying, reading your Bible, quoting Scripture, saying, Lord, move, Lord, move, Lord, move, Lord, move upon this place like never before. Because you see, the enemy will try to bring destruction. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his tactics. And he could care less about your family. But Jesus cares for your family. It says that Jesus has come to give us what? Life. And to have it what? More abundantly. Correct. What's the opposite, huh? One comes to steal, kill, and destroy. One comes to give life. Because that's what they are. Jesus is a life giver. Jesus is a life giver of more abundantly. The devil is one that steals, kills, and destroys. We need to be fathers that give life and life more abundantly to our families. We have to make hard decisions, but we always should look out for the best interest of love towards our families in whatever capacity or whatever way. But giving out the characteristics of our Father, which is life, and life more abundantly, and not the Father of stealing, killing, and destroying. But giving out those things, giving out those things. I saw a few quotes and I had to laugh. I said, well, that's good. It says, when a father gives to his son, they both laugh. When a son gives to his father, they both cry. To a father growing old, nothing is dearer than a daughter. Dad taught me everything I know. Unfortunately, he didn't teach me everything he knows. There's power in a praying dad. And I tell you, I want to encourage you as fathers, pray. Pray. Go sit on your swing outside or go in a little area where it's just you alone. Go sit on your steps. If you have to go in your car, whatever. If you have to go in the restroom, go. Go in the bedroom, go in the kitchen, whatever. Take some time to lift up your family, fathers, to the King. They need it. Mothers, take time to pray for your family, your spouse, your children. They need it. There are some things that we dads have to do sometimes to see what a difference being a praying man can make. Such as, sometimes we dads must wrestle with God. In Genesis, it talks about Jacob. Remember how Jacob had to wrestle with God? Sometimes we may not pray till we get desperate. Desperation brings prayer for Christians most of the time. Desperation to other people that don't know God sometimes can bring horrific circumstances or events. But because Jacob was going through some hard times, he was going to meet his brother. It says that he wrestled with God. That means he needed an answer. Lord, I need an answer. When was the last time, and I know you can't physically, I know, but when was the last time, fathers, that you wrestled with God in the Spirit? Saying, God, move. God, move. God, move. God, help me. God, help my children. Lord, you see what's going on. God, you see the church. Lord, move. Wrestling. Wrestling with. Wrestling. Jacob was worried that Esau was coming to kill him and his family. Jacob grabbed a hold of God that night and did not let go until he got the answer he was looking for. And it's an amazing thing, and I know we know this. Every time we wrestle with God or go to God with something, He always changes us, seems like. We get changed. And that's why God will let desperation or desperate times come our way. Because He wants us changed. He wants us changed. He wants us to be men that will worship Him. I'm not talking about weak men physically or spiritually. I'm talking about men of strength and power that will stand up, that saying we are men of God. And we will do whatever it takes to see this place come to the knowledge of God. We will do whatever it takes to see our spouses living for God and being changed by God. We will do whatever it takes to see our children living for God. You see, we can supply, and look, I tell you, I look at all the men here, and I know you are great workers. I mean, you know, and I know men that, you know, that are not here. Great workers. I mean, supply. I mean, and thank you. But also, do you take care of your family spiritually? And I'm talking about just praying for them. I'm not talking about reading the Bible to them or anything, but just praying for them. Because I tell you what, this is what the devil will do. He'll let you think that everything's okay. And really, everybody's looking good. Everybody feels good, huh? Oh, we're doing good this week. And the devil just waits. And he holds back the pressure of time. And then all of a sudden, when he sees that our faith has turned from the King of Kings to the Lord of Lords, and we're not doing what we should do because we love our Father, then he comes with the attacks. And when he comes with the attacks, because we're unprepared, that's like an unprepared army, you know, an unprepared people, that what happens, dramatic things happen that are worse than what it could have been. And so we need to be on the what? Not so much the defense, but the offense of going after him and saying, you cannot have. As we praise our God, as we worship him, and as we look to him as our faith and our God, as we look to him, that he gives us strength. He gives us power. And the anointing and the presence of God moves in our hearts and touches our children and touches our families. Jacob's name was changed from Jacob the heel to Israel, the one who prevails with God. Oh my God, that's a sermon in itself right there. My God, prevailing with God, huh? Man, be men of God that prevail with him. Don't give up. Don't be a quitter. Stand up. Be strong spiritually. Be strong. Saying, I'm going to prevail. Man, he prevailed. And God knew the end result of Jacob and Esau. You know, that's the amazing thing. God knew what was going to happen. But he brought Jacob to his knees. And when he brought Jacob to his knees, the only thing that Jacob could do was look up. And let me tell you, we have to get on our knees, not so much physically, and that's okay if you want to. I like to pray on my knees sometimes. But you know what? Spiritually, just on before God, saying, Lord, move. And as we look up, it says that he will lift us up, and he will help us, and he will help us to be the fathers that we need to be spiritually. I think the physical part, we have that just about mastered, maybe. But the spiritual part of being that spiritual father, Lord, praying and seeking God like never before for our families and asking God to move and prevailing with him. He held on to God with everything he had because we know old Slewfoot, what he wants to do, steal, kill, and destroy. So we need to be Dads that wrestle with God, we need to be dads that will be persistent and not give up. But also, that's good, we need to be dads who believe. Who believe. Who believe no matter what. We need to wrestle with God, Lord, not give, being persistent with Him. Father, I won't give up, and believe God to move. Believing Him that He's going to change the situation around. A lot of times, honestly, what changes the most is not so much the outside, but the inside. And it's like, the same situation 2 days ago, which could have killed you. We've all been there. Yep, I know. 2 days later, the same thing. But you're alive and well. And ready to roll. That's God. That's God. That's God. That's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Believing that God can change the situation around. Isaiah 65:24, and I'm going to close there. Isaiah 65:24. It says this, "And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear." Makes me want to shout. Move my feet a little bit. Thank God your pastor's full of the Holy Ghost. Thank God. Thank God. "And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer." My God. That's the kind of God we serve, fathers. That before they call, it says, "I," that's the Father, "I will answer." My God. That means the answer's on the way. Going back to our first scriptures in Daniel, chapter 10, verse 12 and 13, the answer was on the way. It took many days to come, but the answer was on the way. Your answer's coming. The request that you've made unto God, if it's according to His Word, it's coming. It may take another week. It may take another 6 months. It may take another year. Who knows? But God says He will answer. Don't ever give up, people. Don't ever give up on what God can do. Praise God. "I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear." Yo, you ever thought about you're praying about something, even before you finish, He's already heard? Wow. Huh? Can you imagine? Lord, He's already heard. Lord, I'm praying for my children, and He's already heard. Y'all, that's the kind of God we serve. That means He's already heard, and He's already sending the answer. However the Holy Spirit wants to do it. It might be through a song. It could be through a book. It needs to be through the Word of God. Could be through prayer. Could be somebody saying something. Whatever. God speaking to us. Whatever it is. That God hears our prayers even before we even start to speak it. And He's answering it already. That's faster than FedEx. And UPS. And USPS. That's fast. That's faster than texting. What other stuff? Emailing. Whatever other stuff. It's fast. Huh? That's right. It's fast. That's fast. That's fast. Lightning fast. That should excite you, people. Fathers, I appreciate you. Keep on, keep it on. Supplying for your families physically, but also supplying for your families spiritually by praying for them. Supply for your families physically, because that's we have to do that. But also supply for your families spiritually. Spiritually. And there's a whole bunch of other scriptures, but time-wise, can't get to it. That's okay. But I want to tell you this, fathers, and even mothers that have had to do fatherly things, I appreciate you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You've done a great job. I know I can look at everybody here, basically your children, they're successful, they're good, they're doing well, you know. You might say, well, Pastor, you don't know my child. I understand. But you see, just think if you didn't pray for them, where they would be. Just think, hold on. Just think of what would happen if you didn't pray for them. What would happen in their lives? But we can give praise and honor and glory to Him. Because He answers. Isaiah 65:24. Some of you need to write this scripture down. You need to know this scripture. Because you're going to go through a hard time this week. This week. And you're going to say, oh man, what was that scripture? What was 65:24? See? Because you see, the Word of God is true. The Word of God is true. 65:24, Isaiah. That He answers your prayers. Amen. Would you please stand? Please stand.